welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 473. My name is James Gilmore. I'm speaking to you through a slowly falling veil of snow. Rick, what's it like where you are?
It's a bit snowy. It's mostly clear. I keep the curtains closed most of the day anyway to try and keep the heat in and the light out.
And the world away.
If I could just hide away from the world as much as possible, I'm a happy boy.
Well, you got scolded by the universe for daring to venture out, didn't you? You were supposed to be, like, on the way back from San Francisco now?
Yeah, if plans had gone the right way, I would have been on my way to New York from San Francisco for my changeover flight. Unfortunately, every single flight in Manchester Airport got cancelled in one fell swoop because of all the snow, so that was lovely. So I just went, you know what, I'm just going to go home.
And play a test flight build of the game that you were going to go and see.
Yeah.
Which, let's be honest, is probably better for the environment.
True.
But not quite the same when you're looking for developer interviews and whatnot. So.
No. It would have been nice to see all the people and meet the developers and stuff like that. It's unfortunate that didn't happen, but we will still get some lovely, lovely content out of it, and that's the important thing.
It is. I was thinking that when you're a kid, snow is amazing because A, it's just fun to lob snowballs at folks, and B, there's that chance that you wake up and school is cancelled because the roads are all boned, and oh no, I'll just have to stay home and, you know, play on a SNES. Whereas when you get to be a grown-up, see, I still like snow, but there is that boring practical aspect of, this is really going to interfere with my commute, and I'm going to have to really plan the shopping, right, so I need to go.
Exactly,
it's
yeah.
Boring, doesn't it? Never grow up, kids.
I'm glad I brought some stuff last night.
I know.
When it was nice and clear. Now, my school never closed.
What?
They had this rule that it was like, oh, we'll never, never close. Even though it was at the top of a massive hill, at like literally like a 40-degree angle that you had to walk up. And it would get super icy, and you'd just get there, and there'd be like 20 kids sliding down the road all at the same time, as we're all just like, have to just jam your feet as hard as you can, because they still made us wear like proper school shoes, which had no grip. And
oh,
we were all
yeah,
just falling about the place, and teachers couldn't get in, so they'd have to do it on like a skeleton staff, but they would refuse to close.
Even governments close when they're having a power. What's so amazing about your school that it needs to be open 24/7?
I don't know. But here's the thing. On the day that my flight got cancelled, so this was Wednesday morning, I called my mother just to say, this is ridiculous. And she said, wow, even your old school closed today. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
It finally happened.
It finally happened. And I was the one who was getting screwed over by the snow.
Oh, mate.
It has not been a good week, but it has been a good week for games, particularly of the mobile variety.
It has. It's a spectacular link there. Well done bringing us back into the fold. So, we're going to be talking a lot about Nintendo in the news section this week. Nintendo both bringing new and exciting games to mobile and also reordering its Switch releases, especially when it comes to Metroid. We've also got a ton of new releases, including the likes of Spirit Roots, The Escapists 2, Pocket Breakout, we're looking at Tactical, we're looking at Rotero, we've got Trigger Fist, Goat, a couple of things from last week to peep at as well. But first, let's do the news. I never played Dr. Mario. Rick, Dr. Mario World, was the original game? Where did Dr. Mario first appear?
Dr. Mario was an NES game, I believe.
Okay.
It's currently available on the Switch Online service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like Tetris. As in, you've got like falling blocks, but it's actually like you're dropping them on top of viruses, and it's all about color matching rather than making lines.
Yes.
So it's not really like Tetris at all. It's just mechanically, it feels a lot like Tetris.
Well, Tetris and a bit like Columns. Remember the Game Gear game Columns? That was their version of color matchy Tetris.
No idea.
Yeah, it's all coming back to me now. Anyway, Dr. Mario's existed for a while. I don't know where he got his doctorate from. Is he Dr. Mario MD? Give him his full title.
I watched something recently that pointed out that Dr. Mario, in between like Super Mario Bros. And Dr. Mario being released, was the space of a year, and that's not long enough for him to have got his doctorate. So he's definitely a quack. Do not go to Dr. Mario if you are feeling unwell. He will probably make you feel worse.
Well,
I'm just looking after our listeners. That's all I'm saying.
I'm glad. So, Dr. Mario is now reportedly coming to... Hang on, I'm going to get this right. Is it coming to mobile?
It is coming to mobile.
It is mobile.
Next, the next mobile game.
Yeah. So, obviously, Nintendo's had its lineup of mobile games that have been appearing over the past year or two. So, we've had our Fire Emblem, we've had our Super Mario Run, we've had that Miitomo thing that lasted for a bit and then vanished once again. And what was the original one? The RPG?
Dragalia Lost.
Dragalia Lost, there you go. And now, the next game on the docket is going to be Dr. Mario World. That's pretty much all the information we've been given, right? It's coming out in 2019 sometime, but there were no images or video or anything like that.
No. We do know it's been developed in partnership with Line, which is the biggest messaging service in Japan.
Okay.
And who have previously made games like Disney Tsum-Tsum.
I've played that.
Yeah, and has made millions of dollars, I think. And NHN Entertainment, which is a South Korean developer who usually work on licensed games. Nothing springs to mind of theirs apart from there was a Kingsman game last year that they did. And RWBY, I think they did the last game of that.
Right.
So they do work on a lot of licensed games, and the games they do are generally okay.
Nintendo have the clout to partner with people who sort of know what they're doing. And yeah. I think DNA they were working with in the very beginning as well. Who are obviously a massive platform over there in the East. This is slightly tedious sort of...
business!
Inside baseball stuff. But, that's where these things come from. And Nintendo are looking to third parties in order to, make their mobile games work and get the advice of people who really understand the mobile landscape, rather than just going, we're going to do our Nintendo thing and screw all you guys. Yeah. Which makes sense, so fair enough. This is interesting because this is going to be the next one that appears when really the one we were anticipating was Mario Kart Rush Tour?
Mario Kart Tour,
that's
yeah.
it. That's now been bumped.
Mm-hmm.
So it was going to be coming out, I think, earlier this year, and now it's going to be pushed way back into the summer.
Yeah.
And again, this was announced alongside the Mario Doctor, Doctor, whatever his face is, Dr. Mario MD. Sorry, I'm a bit tired today. It was announced alongside that there were this financial reports that they're giving out, and occasionally they throw in little new information as well. But that's a bit of a shame, in so much as I quite want to play this game now, but obviously I am on record as being fine with delays, provided it means better game.
Indeed.
And that's what they're pitching. So they said that they are doing it because they want to, hang on, what's the quote? Improve the quality of the application and expand the content offerings after launch. Which, as you say in the article, means it's not finished. That's not finished yet. Can we just, it'll be done now, next week.
Haven't worked out how to do IAPs yet, so stick with us.
No, we don't know how much to charge for each tire. So, here we go. Oh, God, I made myself sad now. Oh, no. Don't do that, Nintendo. But, obviously, a Super Mario game that plays anything like the excellent Super Mario mobile games, be that the original Super Mario Kart that you got on the SNES and subsequently the Game Boy SP, the one I was playing it on, Game Boy Advance, or the actual dedicated ones that are on the DS and the 3DS and the Switch. They're all just generally great.
Mm.
And it would be a shame if they released a genuinely crap Mario Kart game. I think the one on the... Is it the N64 that has the bad rap? There's is one it? Version that people
are
so keen on.
I thought N64 was decent. No, I think it's Mario Kart 7 on 3DS. Oh, probably the GameCube one.
I feel like there's one.
There was one that Double Dash on GameCube, which had... You had, two people to a kart. And it was really weird, and they got rid of the hop.
Oh.
And I think a lot of people hated that. Personally, for me, I thought the Mario Kart 7 is the worst on 3DS, because it's just slow and feels weird and just kind of empty and boring.
Mm.
And then Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on Switch is probably the best one in the entire series. So,
yes, everyone loves that. But the kart games that have been available on mobile, so Angry Birds Go was the go-kart version of that. That had the potential to be really, really good because it felt great. Like, the presentation, the way it looked, the way it conveyed the sense of speed and the controls, the handling of it, were all really good in that game.
Yeah.
But then they had, one track or something and you just ground it endlessly. This was like on the week of release. They have changed it since. But it was really disappointing in terms of the content. Like, it didn't have enough stuff at all. And it felt well grindy. So it was like, oh, so close. You've got like the framework, the structure, the gears are all interlocking here. And they feel great when they're in motion. But the machine is only a teeny, it's like a little portable fan. Like... running off a little battery when what you're looking for is a gigantic wind farm style turbine of content. So maybe we hope this could be this. Delay it all you want if it means we get sweet style handling, because mobile's capable of it. That's the thing. If you can just make the infrastructure in terms of IAPs not horrible and give us a load of tracks, and obviously it's Mario Kart, give us the online multiplayer. That's got to be an essential, hasn't it?
Yeah, surely they can't release a Mario Kart game without multiplayer. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah. No chasing people's ghosts. We need to actually be racing people in real time. I'll be there. Summer 2019. My baseball glove copped at the end of my Ethernet cable, waiting for it to pop out of the net. And then I'll smash it into my phone screen, waggle it about a bit, and we'll be all happy.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, don't step to me about how the internet works. I've got one of the finest internets known to man. I bought it from the shop, and it's great. The light's never gone off. I occasionally have to hit the internet box, make sure it's still working. There we go. Speaking of delays and cancellations, whereas Mario Kart Tour has been pushed back a little bit, Metroid Prime 4, which was due to appear on the Switch, has taken a slightly more drastic route. In terms of, let's try and tweak this game and make sure it's good. We're not delaying it to add features. We're just binning it. They've basically pushed the whole Metroid Prime 4 project into the bin and are starting all over again. Which is, I'm interested in this, not just because it's a dramatic move, but also, like, Nintendo are being uncharacteristically chatty about this, aren't they?
Yeah, it's very weird that Nintendo would ever be so, like, upfront about the fact that they are just binning the entire thing and starting over.
Yeah.
This is not like anything they've done before, and someone is definitely getting fired off the back of this.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You don't think it's a good like outreach and transparency? Because generally they're quite cagey and they're in this position where they don't really have to tell anybody anything that they don't want to. So this feels like, it's quite heart on your sleeve. Look, we've screwed it up. We spent years working on a project. We've decided it's rubbish, so we're starting all over again. Whereas they could just say, oh, it's been delayed for a year or two because we're changing direction or something like that.
I think the thing is, because it's Metroid, and the last Metroid game that came out was Freedom Fighters or something on 3DS.
Oh, I played that at E3. That was the multiplayer minigame one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the one that everyone hated just so much. There's no like official sales records, but I have it on good authority that game sold less than 10,000 copies.
Damn.
On its launch week.
Wow.
Because people hated it.
It's because they wanted a real sequel, didn't they?
Yeah. And there was such a backlash against it. So, and Other M, of course, on the Wii U, was the other Metroid game that was last released, and that was also panned for being atrocious.
That was the one where they decided Samus was massively, like, underpowered, and she was kowtowing to her dude boss suddenly, wasn't she? Yeah.
If you've never watched the movie mode, it's all on YouTube. It is the most beautiful experience of just how can we so badly get a franchise wrong?
Like undermine the central character.
Yeah, it's magnificent. So they've had two major flops come out, and Metroid Prime 4, a lot of people are very excited about it, so they need to get this right. And the right way to go about that is to be as upfront about it as possible. So I think this is entirely the right move, is to come out for them to come out and say, we have screwed this up, we are throwing it all out, and we're going back to the drawing board, basically.
And standing in front of that drawing board is going to be Retro Studios.
Yes, who did the first Metroid Prime game on GameCube.
Yeah, so that will be something that the fans should respond positively to.
I've seen a lot of positive response to this, actually.
Yeah?
You know, usually these things on YouTube, the videos, they'll get like massive dislikes and only a few likes. It's been the other way around. Because I think people are grateful to Nintendo for actually getting out in front of the news and just saying, look, this is what's actually happening. Everyone who's waiting for Metroid Prime 4 can wait a bit longer if it means the game's actually going to be really, really good.
which is the song I always sing around this time, but it's true. I'm interested with them bringing back Retro Studios, though, because that's the kind of thing that warms your heart in terms of just like the name of it. When people say, oh, I love this franchise, it was developed by these guys, they're bringing the original creators back, this is great. But it's been ages since that, and what are the chances of Retro Studios containing like half the same development team that they do now? It's like the same thing with BioWare, where I think, I forget who tweeted it out, I saw something online, but it's like, what is the moratorium on a studio calling itself a studio name when basically the entire staff has changed hands, has changed over? Like, Casey Hudson's gone back to BioWare, right? But the team that comprises BioWare now, that's not the team that made Mass Effect.
Yeah.
It's like a completely different team. So the idea of like, oh, they're, you know, the old guys coming back, it's like, no, they're not. They're called BioWare, but they're a completely different load of people, and there's no guarantee that they're going to produce anything resembling the same game, or, you know, even have the same individual skill set that they originally had the first time around. So not to throw smoke here or blow smoke at Retro Studios, who I'm sure are great, but I do wonder, because original Metroid on the GameCube, 15 years ago? 10? 15?
God.
Like a long time ago. So,
Jesus.
However, hopefully, ultimately, better game comes out the other end. That's all we're interested in. And good to hear that the fans haven't gone completely insane and that they're backing them as well. I have only played the first one on the GameCube. And I only did that via Wii emulation when I got it. So I'm very much a latecomer. Apart from, I did play the original like side-scrolling Metroid.
Yeah.
But not the first-person-ish slash ball rolling amalgam. It's a weird game, isn't it? It's a weird mixture of stuff, Metroid.
It's mostly just scanning. It's Metroid Prime. I remember a lot of scanning. Great games, though. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with 4 and if it manages to live up to everyone's expectations. And this gives them room to do the much rumoured and much hoped for Metroid Prime Trilogy re-release on Switch as well.
Oh yeah, that would be good. I was going to buy that for the Wii, and it was still like £65 to buy the trilogy.
Which is why it needs to be on Switch, so I can pay £40 and have it on a console I still own.
That would be nice. Yes, good call. All right, then get on that, Nintendo. And also, while we're talking about BioWare, go on, Mass Effect HD Trilogy Remaster. Go on. Mr. EA, oh, we don't do remakes, and then immediately goes to relaunch Burnout. Yeah, I see you. Out and about this week, I'm going to start with the game I've played the most so far, which is Tactical, out on iPhone, iPad, Android. It is a top-down-ish military shooter in various shades of grey, green, and brown. We've seen it a bunch at the Big Indie Pitch. This is something that Harry and we've encountered over the past 2 years or so. And when we originally saw the game, it wasn't in a great state. And I think we were quite like, you might need to, you know, adjust this and this. And they've come back 2 years later. It's gone live. Do you know what? It's quite a lot of fun. It's changed a lot since we've seen it. And we really like this. I've played more of it than I probably needed to, strictly, which is always good when I'm recording video for reviews. Because I go, oh, is that the time? Ah, well, one more game. So the way it works out is multiplayer online shooter. You play in teams. I think it's usually about like 4v4, 5v5, something like that. You're running around a selection of maps. The camera is top-down-ish, so it's at that almost isometric angle, but it's fully 3D and, you know, you can control the camera and everything. And what it does right, let's go there first. So moving around and aiming, shooting, all that stuff is very natural and instinctive. It does have a bunch of buttons on the screen, which is not great, but they're arranged in a way that's really sensible. And the best thing it does, I think, is the way it deals with the looking mechanic. So you know how generally it's left thumb on the screen to move the character around, right thumb somewhere on the screen, anywhere to look, swipe left and right, and, you know, adjust the camera position if you like. And usually that means your thumb's in the middle of the screen and you're kind of pushing west and east as much as you can. Here, they don't do that. Here, what they do is you're supposed to position your thumb in the lower right-hand corner and lower left-hand corner. And the idea is all you need to do is swipe in that kind of 19-degree sweep. So you're kind of swooshing round the corner of the screen rather than trying to push across the length of the screen. which is way more naturalistic. So that's working around the apex of your thumb's joint at the bottom. So you're just going do-do-do. So you can like clearly look a full like 180 in just a sort of small swipe of the thumb. And that's really, really good. It also couples that with the auto fire mechanic. So generally your weapons have laser fire pointers on them. Laser pointers? Laser sights is what I'm looking for there. So it's quite easy to line up your shot. And then once the laser sight is over, an enemy opens fire automatically, which is good because then you don't have to stop and press a button. And now you can't control the camera. And that really intrudes on sort of good, smooth gameplay, in my opinion. Mm. You do have the ability to do crouches and you can roll to the side, obviously change your weapons. There are additional weaponry like grenades and stuff like that that you can throw in. But basically, it's kind of not the purest, simple, I just have a gun and I press fire, but equally, it's not ridiculously complicated UI with loads and loads and loads of submenus getting in your way. So that makes it fast and smooth. The best thing is, the gameplay is really, really fun, mainly because it's a quite compressed space. There's enough room to move around, but you don't have to walk very far before you inevitably run into an enemy. And it's kind of a debris scattered battlefield. There's lots of like trucks discarded. There are tanks exploded in the middle of the area. There are obviously abandoned buildings and smashed up walls and all that stuff you'd usually expect. But you'll very often get into positions where there are, you know, two or three enemies on the screen at any one time and you're circle strafing around. You're putting obstacles between you and them. Obviously, you can see all of them because you're seeing it from a kind of god eye view. So it becomes, it's the tactical bit of the tactical. You really can see like, right, they're going that way, I'm going this way. So I'm going to try and sneak in through here and pop up and ha-ha and blast the crap out of you. You can get into vehicles and you're driving around in trucks and you can jump on the back of them and operate the cannons. The playtime, I think, is about 3 minutes. 3-5 minutes, and the idea is you're like first to 100, or you can also go and grab these money bags. So there's like a capture thing, which is usually on a train track in the middle of the area. So a train will occasionally smash through the environment, which is fun, and then it'll clear the way, and you'll see this like red backpack. So you run over, grab that, stick it on your back, and now you have the money pack. So you need to try and protect yourself. You can run off and hide, and let the rest of your team try and protect you against the enemies, because you get big fat bonuses for surviving with that money bag on your back when the game is over. Then you're upgrading your guns, you're unlocking new characters, and all the rest of the stuff. It's free to play, I'm pretty sure, but it's a really fun little loop. It's smooth and it's really engaging and it kind of pops. And despite the fact that the worst thing about it is it looks kind of grey and grimy and it's not visually particularly impressive, but the gameplay really, really, really does zing when you're running around and doing all the shooting. And I've been having a really good time with it. Have you had a go on it?
I had one quick game before we did the podcast, and okay. Like, as you said, we've seen it a couple of times over the years, and last time I saw it, I was like, oh, this is okay, and now I'm playing it. It's like, actually, this is really good. I think for me, it's the fact that when you get into a firefight with somebody, it's not a case of, like, you're going to die within, like, 2 seconds of starting firing your gun.
No, you do like, tank bullets quite well, so
yeah.
There's that.
The time to kill isn't so quick that you like instantly die as soon as you come across an enemy unless you're massively skilled or powerful. And I quite like that because you walk into a firefight against 3 other people and you think, actually, I might be able to take a couple down before I get killed here. And it's just a nice feeling of feeling like decently powered and able to actually get some combat done before having to respawn and start all over again. Which I quite liked. But yeah, it's really smooth. I really like the controls, as you were saying, like the auto shoot makes it way easier to do everything. And the grenade as well, like, as you say, you throw a grenade, you just tap a button, it just throws it. And if you can sort of work out where the grenade's arc is, you can easily land some, like, really satisfying kills on people that you're fighting against.
I've taken out a lot of trucks zooming past, and that's very satisfying.
I think, it's just a very satisfying game.
It's almost halfway between, like, the FPS shooter and the twin stick shooter.
Yeah.
If they pushed the camera all the way up and you were looking, like, straight down, then it would kind of be that twin stick shooter. I imagine this is not a million miles away from that Travis Strikes Again camera angle. You know, that sort of game, whereas that's hack and slashy. And that's got all the colour in the world, but people found the gameplay quite dull. Whereas this is visually dull, but actually the gameplay really, really zings. So
it kind of feels like Guns of Boom, which is the first-person game. But Guns of Boom always, to me, felt quite slow, whereas this feels a lot faster paced. You're just constantly moving and constantly there are things happening rather than traversing around small areas and trying to find enemies and stuff. it's been worked on for years, and it shows because it really, really does play beautifully well.
So we think this is a real... I don't know if it's going to get a lot of traction. The reviews have been pretty good. It's got a lot of ratings on the App Store. I think maybe it's number 8. But this feels like one that could pick up momentum if people really jump in. And I think they should. I think this is not as flashy or as well publicized as other shooters, but this is really worth your time. So Tactical, all one word is the name of that one. We really recommend you go and check that out. It's cool stuff. One I haven't played is... I have played this. I played the first two levels. Spirit Roots. So this is a very pretty looking platformer, which has got the colorful hand-drawn style. It's got that, like, I guess, Chopper Chops colors. Let's put that out there. So it's lots of yellows and pinks and really, really nicely done and animated. You are purely 2D flat plane side-scrolling character. You got a sword, you got a gun, you do jumping and all of that. As Harry says, an old-fashioned progression system. So, you know, you die and then you have to go back to the old checkpoints and everything. He's not so keen on it. I've played it a little bit and I was like, okay, this seems all right in terms of the controls and whatnot. But he says he really wanted to like it and it doesn't know whether it needs to be like a simple, kiddie, friendly, jumpy-jumpy one or a really sharp and pointed, hardcore platformer because it gets quite frustrating. The jumping is quite tricky. You need to land it perfectly. You will die. It's like the sort of fluffy, kiddie, friendly visuals don't match the quasi-hardcore gameplay.
Yeah.
It feels like he describes it as having an identity crisis. It's like it doesn't quite know what it is wanting to be and that there are lots of other platformers that do one thing or the other better. That's me reporting third hand what he says about it. But he gave it, I think it's 5 stars. Spirit Roots is the name of that one.
We didn't give it 5 stars.
Sorry, not 5 stars, that 5 out of 10. So 2.5 stars on our system.
5 stars, that would have been amazing. We wouldn't have been talking so low on it.
I'm still in the old headspace where PG did out of 10. Now we do out of half 5 stars. So there you go. But yeah, Spirit Roots is the name. Go and look at the review. What else is out? You've been playing something on the Switch?
Yes. It came out last week. It's Unruly Heroes, which...
Oh, yeah.
I believe the developers behind it were formerly working at Ubisoft on Rayman Origins and Legends.
Hmm.
And then moved on to make their own studio. And the first game they made was this, which is Unruly Heroes, which is a bit like Rayman Origins and Legends.
Hmm.
Particularly in the art style, which is lovely.
It's beautiful.
And it's all based on The Journey to the West, the popular Chinese story that everyone likes to rip off of because no one else really knows any other stories outside of China. And it kind of plays like Rayman. So you're running along, it's side-scrolling, run from left to right, jump on things, attack enemies, grab hard-to-reach collectibles, all that kind of thing. The sort of wrinkles they've added is you have 4 characters in your party and each of them have different special moves that you need to use to get through the various levels. And you have to cycle through them to select them. So you've just got these 4 people at the bottom. And then when they die, they become a spirit bubble, like in Mario, where if you die, then your character comes back in a bubble and you have to pop it to get your character back.
Yes.
And then the combat system, they've added ranged attacks. There's full-on combos now. Enemies have hit points. And it just doesn't quite work. It's the same thing with Spirit Roots, I think, where it's having kind of an identity crisis, where it doesn't really know if it's a fighting game, if it's like a side-scrolling beat-em-up kind of thing, or if it's a proper platformer or not. Because it's got all the platforming stuff, and it's got bits of puzzle platforming in it, where you've got to move statues around to deploy your special abilities better, and like I say, with the combat and stuff. It's really confused. It doesn't know what it wants to do. And the combat isn't great, mostly because you just die a lot, and it's really irritating when you die. I don't know. It doesn't feel good to play. I don't really enjoy it.
That's interesting. It's got some fairly positive like feedback online. It hasn't been reviewed by loads of people, but it's getting quite high marks from folks. I don't know if they're bowled over by the art style, because it makes a very good first impression just looking at it.
Oh, but yeah. Obviously it looks gorgeous, but it's just one of those things where it's just not clicking with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just too many systems and not enough reward for like sticking with it, I guess. It just feels a bit bland.
Okay.
It's all sizzle and no spark, as it were.
Gotcha. Alright, then well that's also available for console, so Xbox One at least, PS4, that sort of thing. But you were talking about the Switch version specifically. Yep. I'm guessing how much? 10, 20?
I can't remember.
some money.
Some money. It won't. I don't think it's full price. It'll be no more than about 20 quid, I'm sure.
Okay, so that'll be out right now on Switch. Sticking with military shooters, this is the runner-up of the military shooter thing for the week. If Tactical was the really good poppy fun one and the nice surprise, Trigger Fist Goat, which is also out on iOS at the minute for free, that's kind of the much more standard first-person, or in this case, actually, it's a very close third-person shooter, so your camera's right over the shoulder to the point where you might as well just be in their eyeballs. And it is what you would expect. So it is, you know, it's a Counter-Strike. It's a fairly standard running around military shooter and too many controls. Again, it's fine. I've played this one less than I played Tactical. But, I mean, it works. It's got all the things that you would want, I suppose. Sounds vague because there's very little to say about it, to be honest with you. It's so generic military shooter. On mobile, it really is just like it, you know, even things like the Gameloft games Modern Combat, which incidentally is coming out on Switch soon. Modern Combat,
yeah, coming out
versus or Blackout, whichever one it is.
Blackout,
yeah, that one's coming over there. It's an interesting move. Even that has like some visual pizzazz, and it, whilst it is obviously echoing bigger franchises, it has its own identity, kind of, and it certainly has the slickness to back it up. This is very. Feels very crude. This feels very... It kind of feels very 5 years ago. Not to be a total bitch, but...
Well, it is a sequel to a game they made 7 years ago, I believe. And they claimed that they had sort of built on it and improved it. But from what I've seen of Harry's review and from what you're saying, they haven't.
More of the same. I haven't seen Harry's review either, but... Yeah, it just feels like another one of these. It's not awful. If you are already part of the community, maybe this is for you. And if you're just, you need another one of these games, fine. It just, I don't feel like it adds anything new or particularly interesting. I think a lot of games do this much slicker than this one. And even just Tactical, just a different angle and the slightly different way that the controls work out makes it feel fresh and interesting, where this just doesn't so much. So, it's fine. It works. If you like these, give it a go. But I don't think it's anything particularly special at all, really. I'd like to mention Langrisser and Backfire, I guess. Langrisser, which we mentioned was out last week. I subsequently played it a hell of a lot in order to get review stuff done. And this is the one that's a bit Fire Emblem-y. Quite good, actually, as it turns out. I can't remember how much I said about it last week. I don't know how much I'd played by that point.
I think I chatted about it. I think we basically just said it's Fire Emblem, but not.
Yeah, kind of. I think one thing I would correct is that I think we, based on like what Dave Aubrey had written about it and how far he'd played, it hadn't unlocked a multiplayer mode at the time that we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. It turns out that you do actually have a real-time PvP multiplayer mode in it that appears around about level 28, which is quite a long way into the game before you unlock that. So I was like, oh, all right, fine. But, you know, you have to work fairly hard in order to get it. But, broadly speaking, we liked that. I say I probably covered it last week, but just in case, that's when we played. And one I did catch up with, and I hadn't had a chance to play it last week, is Backfire. The way people describe it, and people are mentioning Dark Souls again, and I hate it when people just go, it's Dark Souls. But it's got Geometry Wars stylings, where you are on a neon nothing, a neon void, basically, where you've got a big neon background. Your character is a small triangle asteroid style, and you're zipping around. Every time you move forward, you fire stuff out of your butt, your ship's back end. That's why it's called Backfire. And different weapons you unlock. One of them, you just travel in the direction that you tap, and some other ones you need to tap, and it will kind of jump forward. But it won't continuously move wherever you go. It won't pathfind. It's just like jump, 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 like constantly just accelerating and then decelerating. And every time it does, you'll fire a blast, like a shotgun blast or something. The interesting thing about this is that the tap to move mechanic is unusual because we're used with these kind of games, things like Geometry Wars, to just like twin stick shooter it or just point the ship in a direction and it will travel. That's not what this is. This is very deliberately. You just tap on the screen and the ship turns and moves towards that point. So you're always making these very angular snap changes depending on where you tap, and you really need to use two thumbs. And initially, it's quite flat. When you first start playing, you're like, I'm not sure there's much to this. But it gets quite, I don't want to say visceral, but you get really, really stuck into it. It's very tough, and it evolves as you play. So even though you're still playing the first level, it just starts generating different enemies. And as you increase your armory as you power up. It starts to throw more stuff at you, which is interesting. It's kind of scaling along with you, because I thought it'd be like, brilliant, this is going to become much easier now. And the game's like, no, it's still going to be really, really hard, because we're just going to stick a whole bunch of new enemies in there to mess you up. And the size, the scale of the environment keeps changing, so the room gets much smaller, and then it suddenly opens up. The enemies, some of them will pursue you, some of them behave like, I guess, squid, where they suddenly go and sort of swoosh through the level. Some of them home in on you, some of them just hang around in the corners. They start introducing like spinning spikes and other obstacles. And it's one of these things where at first blush, you're like, eh. But then after about 20 minutes, half an hour, it starts to click and you realize there is actually something more going on here. It's quite good. It's very tough. It's very minimal, very rewarding. But yeah, have a look at the video, see if it might be your thing. Backfire is the name of that one. Is there anything else you've had a smush about with?
I had a quick go on The Escapists 2, which I think is probably the biggest game of the week, and yet I feel like it's just kind of...
left it till last.
Quietly well, come out.
Yeah, I guess it's because, it's been out on other platforms for a while, right? So it's sort of, everybody knows what it is at this point. Mm. I guess the question is, how does it handle on mobile?
Did you play The Escapists 1 on mobile?
I did. I reviewed the iPad.
Do you remember how it plays? Because I didn't. How did you control it?
It's sort of tapping to move, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
I think that's how it worked. I don't think you had dual sticks or anything. I'm pretty sure it was. I'm going to actually check with my video, but I think that's how it worked. How does 2 work?
Well, this 2 works. It's got 3 different control schemes. So you can use a stick to move around, or you can tap to move, or you can draw paths to move as well.
Okay.
Which is interesting. I went with the tap to move option, and I just quickly did the tutorial. It feels nice.
There is a twin stick option here as well. And I think there's a tap to move. I think you've got it all here as well.
Yeah. Right, okay. I'm sure they said there was a new system anyway.
Fair enough.
Well, whatever. If you played The Escapist or The Escapist 2, it's basically the same, but on mobile. I actually quite like it. I didn't really click with The Escapist when I first played it on like Xbox or something, but the graphics have been vastly improved over the original. There's a lot more animation, for one thing. The controls are fairly usable and smart enough that you can sort of get used to them quite quickly. And yeah, if you like patience and you like having to sit around and wait and plan things really meticulously, then this is probably the game for you.
I'm sensing you're not a patient person.
I am not a patient person at all. I like to sort of think of a plan and then immediately execute it, whereas The Escapist is about think of a plan and then wait 10 days until you actually have all the stuff you need and also stick with the routine that the game's giving you to do all these things. It's very much for a specific kind of player, and I am not that player, unfortunately. Right. But it is an interesting game, and if you've not played The Escapist before, it does work well on iPad. I was playing it on my Mini 2 and it ran smooth as anything and looked gorgeous while you were playing it as well, so...
Okay, good.
Definitely worth a check if you're at least vaguely interested in it. Oh yeah, John Mundy's doing the review for it, so we'll have a review for it soon as well.
Okay, good stuff. All right, so that's The Escapist 2. That is a premium game, and I'm going to say...
$6.99.
Yes, $6.99 for that one. That's both on iOS and on Android as well, apparently. So grab that now if you want to. That will do for this week. We will be back again next week as usual, I think, unless the snow has knocked out every communication device in the area and or me when I try and walk out this evening to go and get some food and slip up on an icy thing and bounce into a bush and then never wake up.
Please don't do that. I'll be sad.
Sleep tight, kids.
Who will I talk to on a Friday?
Oh, no, I can't do that to you. All right, then. I'm wrapping chains around my feet as I speak. That's what they do to tires. I'm sure it works with shoes. It doesn't make you look like an escaped convict. Thank you for listening, everybody. Go out and play one of them games. Check out the reviews on PG and the YouTube channel as well. Why not? And we'll see you next week for more. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.